Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everybody.
What happened? Your camera went off.
Camera went off and on because it's like the start of the episode. You know,
hey.
Like, hey, YouTube, subscribe. And like, now we're here.
Hey.
You know, it's like, we're magic.
That's right. Okay, so you're putting some production, I see.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. I am Father God Darren Karp here with Mommy God, John Thrasher, also known as Snoopy's uncle, for those that care.
Snoopy's uncle. Yes, that's true.
No, we don't need to know your name. We just need to know your relationship to Snoopy. That's how this world works.
Fair.
That's how everything works. Because John recently got to see, for the first time, not only my fiance, but more importantly, meet my dog. And came over. We had a very fun recap. We talked about it in this week's Patreon episode. So if you have any interest, definitely check out our Patreon for the full hang. But it was a lot of fun. And
yeah.
I think John is straight now. Because of Snoopy. I just
can't
saying.
Say that much, but I appreciate the sentiment around that because I did fall in love with her. She is the cutest thing.
Yep.
I mentioned this on the episode, guys. She's just a little meatball marinara footlong sub from Subway.
She's a little sub.
She's so much petiter and cuter than I was expecting. I forgot to mention this on the show, but Darren, thank you for dinner as well. Darren and Nadine bought me dinner that night, which was very sweet, and hosted me for a few hours. It was so fun to get to see you again. I also mentioned on the episode, it has been 2023 was the last time we had seen each other in person. So happy
to
hang.
Yeah, we do the math on the episode, so definitely check it out.
One other thing before we move on,
Patreon.
Too.
Patreon,
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No,
Darren was talking about me being Uncle John to little Snoopy. Darren made sure to make a point that her other uncle, Darren Goldberg, got her some toys while I was there.
Oh, yes.
But
well,
I
she was
never
playing
have.
With them.
Yeah, she was playing with them.
To be fair, because she was like, do you want to tell Gunkle John who got you that toy?
Yeah.
Was it her other uncle, Darren? Did
so
this uncle come empty-handed?
I feel like Darren and I, our friend Darren, we should have him on the show one day, by the way, just for funsies.
We really should.
He and I are going to be the gunkles that like compete for the attention and love of their
Good.
of their niece.
She is sleeping
buy
over
each other
his
stuff.
Place this weekend while I go
Aww.
To Coachella. So him and
Oh
Jack
my
are going to be
God.
Taking care of Snoopy for like 48 hours, and they're like beyond excited.
That's really exciting. I would love
Yeah.
to do that if I live there, by the way. Are you saying I should move there?
Well.
Okay, maybe let's see what happens.
If you want Snoopy to love you.
Did you get my email the other day?
Oh, about the Lady Gaga sweatshirt? Yes, I forgot
yes.
to respond back, but when I got
That's
it,
okay.
I said to Nadine, I was like, let's go to the merch and see if we can
Oh
get
my
him.
God, thank
It was,
you. I would die.
So I'll do what I can.
I know you'll do it. Thank you so much. By the way, for everyone listening, Darren's going to Coachella. Guess who's headlining it? My absolute favorite, Lady Gaga, because she just has to be with all my favorites this year.
I'm actually as excited as I am for Gaga. I'm more excited for the pre-Lady Gaga act, which is Missy Elliott.
Oh, that's really exciting. Oh my God, I didn't know that. Oh my God, why didn't I go to Coachella this year?
That's
I'm so
why
mad.
I'm really excited, because I've seen Gaga,
Ugh.
but like Missy Elliott,
That's
you
going
know?
to be fucking amazing. Well, I got an email this week from Lady Gaga. We're friends. And it was like, by the way, here's
Personal.
my exclusive Coachella merch. And I forwarded it to Darren. I was like, just if you happen to be by the merch store and want to buy me a hoodie, like I would pay for it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
So thank you in advance.
Of course,
that.
I'll do my very best.
Because you got
for
me
you.
that No Doubt shirt. And I love that shirt. And I was so thrilled to bits when you got that for me, so thank you.
Of course
You have to let us know on NMR how it goes next week.
I will. Next week I'm going to do a full recap, but
love.
All right, let's get into this week's case, and I just want to let's talk a little bit about it because it's sort of in pop culture right now.
Is.
I mean, it has been for since the case kind of came out, but we're talking today about the Idaho murders, as you can see from the title. I think it's important to just before we get into this conversation to say outright A, this is still an open case. It is an ongoing case. He is not convicted. Holberger is not convicted. He's only charged, which only says that the state feels like they have enough evidence to convict him beyond a reasonable doubt, but that has yet to be seen because he's
Yeah, he
hasn't
hasn't
the
been
trial
tried
hasn't
yet.
happened yet. So I just think that's important to talk about as we go through this. We try to do our best, even when the Gabby Petito case came out. And we did that AV special I remember talking about before Brian Laundrie was really convicted, just saying that he's still technically innocent. And so we do want to
Till
respect
proven
people's
guilty,
rights
yep.
here. And just a little pre-thought I just want to get to before we get into the case. Obviously, this case came out the past few years and people have been talking about it. I know about the case. I've heard about the case. I was watching the case all along. During this time, when they quote unquote caught Brian Koberger, kind of realized that quote unquote, it could be him, right? Allegedly, it could be him
Yeah,
enough to
they
charge
had
him.
some evidence that they think
Right.
would be enough to charge him.
I gotta say, like, I felt at the time, I'm like, okay, they've got the guy. Like, this is it. Like, almost open and shut case. Just with social media these days and young people, it's kind of hard not to have at least some sort of direction, probably in which case you can go, which is great. But since everything has sort of come out, I have just heard in the ether more and more people kind of say, like, oh, it's possible he didn't do it. It's more possible he didn't do it. So it's kind of interesting how public opinion can kind of change. I don't know if you felt that way.
A little bit, yeah.
But I definitely feel like there has been now more people at least potentially questioning what's going on, even though, of course, there are certainly people who feel absolutely 100% conviction rate is going to happen. I'm just saying that I just think it's interesting that the more time that goes by, evidence starts to reveal itself sometimes.
Yeah, and we'll get to all of these details in today's episode. But yeah, I had a similar kind of vibe. I will be honest, I wasn't super close to this case when it was happening. Honestly, because what little I would hear about it just sounded so confusing. I'm
Yeah.
like, you're telling me four students were murdered in a house and
But
they don't
someone
know
was
who did it?
awake,
And
right?
someone
But
was
someone was,
awake and
and
texting?
there. Yeah. Especially again, nowadays, especially with social media, people staying up, just it did seem, and I lived in a sorority house, and then I
That's right.
lived in a house with my two friends my senior year off campus. And so, those campus housing, I mean, granted, not every campus is the same, but it's not like they're like new and soundproof. I mean, technically, these
Of
college houses,
course.
were but
And
beaten
they're
down a little
tiny,
bit because they're,
usually. Yeah.
but it does seem kind of odd that all of this happened. Yet again, though, these types of cases, you even a little bit Karen Reed, like you go into every single detail. And sometimes when you
Yeah.
go into every single detail, which you should, there is that question of, but is this just a really weird
Coincidental
coincidence?
situation.
Like it could happen, enough scenarios happen in any given time. One of them's about to be rare and odd and whatever. So let's get into this week's case. And then maybe as these details unfold, we'll have maybe a clearer idea once we get into all these details.
And
But
let us know what you guys think too after the episode. I'm curious to hear what you guys think after we've gotten to the end, but
yeah, and if you're kind of like, from what I know, I think he's going to be convicted or not. I'm just
yeah.
curious to hear what you guys think. So, Moscow, Idaho is a quiet and close-knit college town home to the University of Idaho. The university is known for its robust Greek life. Usually, those big schools have them.
Yeah.
I was in a sorority myself and I went to a small school, but
Yeah,
and
I went to
supports
WVU and they have a huge Greek presence there.
like insane and supports numerous fraternity and sorority houses, both on and off campus. One such house was located on King Road, minutes away from the university. In the fall of 2022, again, 2.5 years ago, not that long ago, it was home to five young women, including 22-year-old Kaylee Gonzalez, 23-year-old Madison Mogan, and 22-year-old Zanna Kernodle. And Madison was born May 25th. My birthday is May 24th,
I know,
2001 in Oregon. So these are ripe
Very
kind
young,
of
yeah.
college, post-college kids being in their very young 20s while at the University of Idaho. Madison was majoring in marketing, got involved in Greek life, and made the dean's list every semester. Hard to do,
Nice.
especially in Greek life.
Yeah, that's
Obviously a
true.
smart girl. And while Maddie was still figuring out what sort of future she wanted for herself, she seemed confident that she would find her path, as some of us are in college. People who knew her described her as a sweet and caring young woman, a bright light, a great friend to all. And her lifelong best friend, however, was someone named Kaylee Gonzalez, who I said in the beginning. Now, these two became inseparable besties as children, graduating high school together, and the girl's parents said they were more like sisters than friends. And
People say
you
that
know,
about us too,
people
sisters.
definitely sisters, sometimes wives, sometimes,
Sister wives.
sometimes children. But you know, I certainly had, you know, my best friend today is someone I actually never went to school with, not elementary, middle school,
Oh,
high
interesting.
school, college, but we grew up across the street from each other. And sometimes, and our birthdays are like 3 weeks apart. And our other best friend who lived across the street from each other, we're no longer really like close with him, but like he was 3 days after her. So all the mothers on the street, my mom, Chris and Caroline's mom, they were all at basically
Besties.
the same month because they all had babies that were
Oh
at the
my
same time. And
God.
then we all became friends. So, but
Right.
she's point is she's still my best friend today. So
That's
sometimes
great.
those bonds that you form when you're kids, it's
Oh
like you
yeah.
become sister. She's like my sister.
Absolutely. I have a couple of friends exactly like this that I don't even think of as friends. They're like my family. So it's also cool to like go to college with your best friend, you know.
Yeah.
That's a cool experience. Well, Kaylee, the best friend here, was born June 8th, 2001, the middle child of five.
Another Gemini.
There you go, just to be clear.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kaylee, I forgot you're a Gemini. More on that on a future NMR. Kaylee was able to find peace and quiet at Maddie's house, and she was only an only child, while Madison was able to get the experience of playing with siblings and ha hanging out at Kaylee's. When it came time for both of these girls to choose a college, it came as a surprise to no one that the two decided, of course, to attend the same school. Now, 2022 was Maddie and Kaylee's senior year, and they were very excited at the prospect of getting to live together in the house on King Road with their friend and sorority sister, Zanna. Zanna Kernodle, as we mentioned, was born July 5th, 2002. By the way, I just want to say I'm at an age where, like, I have very vivid, clear memories of 2002. Like, I was a junior in high school. I just feel so old sometimes. These young kids being born in the
Doesn't feel, I
2000s.
know it doesn't feel like that long ago to me, but it really
No.
was, you
Yeah, it
know?
really was. But yes, Zanna Kernodle was born on July 5th, 2002, and was known as a very athletic and outdoorsy type of girl who studied marketing at the University of Idaho. Zanna had recently found love, actually. She had just a few months prior started dating another University of Idaho student, Ethan Chapin. Ethan, who will come into play, of course, was born a triplet, actually, on October 28th, 2002. And like Zanna, he was very athletic. He played many sports throughout his life. He loved being outdoors, which of course made for some fun dates between the two. Now, he and his two other siblings were also extremely close and committed to the University of Idaho together so they wouldn't have to be apart,
Oh,
which
wow.
I love that. I mean, especially if you're a triplet, it's hard to imagine splitting up when you're a triplet. From what I understand, twins and triplets are just always have a bond that feels
Yeah, that
tough to
it's like
break.
beyond sibling, they say,
Exactly.
you
Yeah,
know?
exactly. Yes. Well, Ethan was known as very sweet and an excellent student who was involved with the Sigma Chi fraternity.
And on the evening of November 12th, 2022, was a busy one for the members of the King Road House. Kaylee had gone home for a few days to buy a car, and she planned to stay at home until the end of the upcoming holiday break, but decided to drive back to school so she could show Madison her new car. And looking back, it's kind of wild that like
I know.
had she decided not to do that, you know? But
Who
like when
knows
you
what could
have a new
happen?
car, when you're so
Oh,
excited, it's
yeah.
just ay. Now Kaylee and
Yeah.
Maddie spent the evening together, eventually going to a nearby sports bar near the school. And around 1 a.m., they left the bar to purchase some food at a food truck, then returned to the house on King Road. Ethan and Zanna attended a fraternity party that night, and instead of going home after the party, Ethan returned to King Road with Zanna, planning to spend the night. Okay,
Again,
so
they're a
everyone's
couple,
back
so.
on. They're a couple, so it makes sense. It is important to note that there were two other roommates living in the house. Both were also home on this night. Okay, so it's a full house, technically, six of them. Their stories are vital to piecing together the evidence, the events that transpired right now, which is why I'm trying to be deliberate in just parsing every detail out because it is kind of
Definitely.
a crazy story. Original reports stated both surviving roommates were in their beds at the time of the killings and were not attacked by the intruder who invaded their home. Okay. Okay, so not everyone in the house was slaughtered. I guess it's possible, depending on where their bedrooms were. If I'm the killer, you want to get in and out, depending on what the point of the kill is, especially if it's targeted towards one person or not. But you don't know how much time you have, whatever. Now, This is probable since the house was split level, like we were kind of talking about, depending on where the room was, with multiple floors and entry points. I often think about just being on a higher floor in a building is probably safer than being on a lower floor just by nature of the time it would take an intruder to get in and out. They obviously want to minimize that time. So if something's on a top floor, you're going to go to the first floor first. You're not doing
Yeah, I would say
the
that's
thing far
true.
away.
You
Now,
would think
making
so, at
a
least.
But this also makes it possible that the killer can enter the house at any of these entry points and sleuth through the home. So possibly making, being sort of an upstairs, downstairs situation, you might not hear that a whole other activity is going on. Now, according to court documents, sometime around 4 a.m., about 3-ish hours later after they all got home, a white sedan seen circling the neighborhood. There was a white sedan seen circling the neighborhood outside the house on King Road. And I do remember seeing those videos pop up as this case was unfolding when the police reports were going. I remember them showing the kind of CCTV footage or whatever it is of this just same car rolling by, which is weird.
Yeah, that is
Weird.
weird. And more on that car, I'm sure, later in this episode, at least. But, well, so just after 4 a.m., this vehicle parked, and from it emerged a man, roughly 5'10", with darker features. The man was wearing a ski mask that displayed his bushy eyebrows, but no other parts of his face were really visible. And in a matter of just a few minutes, the intruder climbed the stairs to the second floor where Zanna and Ethan laid sleeping. One surviving roommate stated that when she was sleeping on the second floor, the same floor as Zanna and Ethan, before she was awakened by what sounded like Kaylee and her dog playing upstairs in Kaylee's room on the third floor. So one of the surviving roommates in this house does re remember the sound of some tussling, I guess you could say, on the upstairs floor. She stated she later heard a roommate saying something to the effect of, "There's someone here." The roommate stated she believed this was said by Kaylee, although investigators also believe this might have been Zanna speaking, as a forensic download of her cell phone showed that she was on the app TikTok at 4:12 a.m. Let me also pause here because we're getting into the mental theatrics, I guess you could say, of the crime scene and of the events that happened. There are now at least six people in this in this house, in this apartment, whatever, at this point in time. And when you have that many people, and I'm sure you'll remember this, Darren, I think, as you said, you lived with many different roommates or whatever throughout your time in college. You know, even though you're living with these people, you never know who's coming home with anyone at any given time. It could
Well,
be
right,
someone they
because you're
just
living
became.
private lives, like you are, but you're just sharing this space. I mean, presumably you're all friends, but yeah, I mean, you bring a random person home at the bar, like, yeah.
So if an intruder were to be in there at, say, 4 o'clock in the morning, every single person in that building could just simply be thinking it's a guest of the other person for all they know. So that is a weird kind of like tactic that could be effective for a murderer to be like, "Oh, I'm friends with so and so, and you don't know any better, so here I am." Anyway, I just think that's important to mention as we discuss this particular part, especially. Well, the surviving roommate stated she opened her door twice within a short span of time, and the second time heard what sounded like crying coming from Zanna's room and a male voice saying, "It's okay, I'm going to help you." Super creepy.
Super creepy. It's also hard to know everything in that moment. You're just panicked. Probably you're opening your door twice within a short span of time. Like, probably too scared to go outside, but enough to want to open the door in the first place. I don't know.
And again, this is from the surviving roommate who later is stating this after probably going through some traumatic events. So something else to think about. Well, security footage from a nearby house picked up the sounds of dogs barking actually around 4:15 to 4:17 a.m. So that's another interesting detail. Their surviving roommate allegedly opened her door a third time and saw the intruder, dressed in black clothing and wearing that ski mask, walking towards her.
Oh my God, nope. Terrifying.
No way. The roommate did not recognize this man and was stunned into a terrified silence, apparently. This may have actually saved her life, as it seems the intruder did not even notice the roommate at all, actually, and the intruder simply walked past her and exited through a sliding door.
Obviously, this could be true. Who knows? Who knows the lighting in that situation? She's
Yeah,
opening her
right.
door. What she sees, but it is a little odd. You open a door, even if it's a little bit, and you
Yeah.
see this person and you don't see him. I guess his back could have been turned to you. But
Right.
this detail always seemed really interesting. Like the opening door three times, you kind of hear nothing. Like not enough to at least go check it out.
And if you're he
This isn't. I'm not saying the roommate's suspicious. I'm just saying that like. It does seem odd. You're opening the door. You think there's an intruder. Then you hear kind of your roommate say with a dude, like, wouldn't you maybe go check it out at that point or go to your roommate's room? Or
And this kind
I
of
don't
goes
know.
back, yeah, to what you're making a great point, because it goes back to kind of what I was saying, which is like in that moment, do you think it's an intruder, or did you then realize later it was an intruder? Like, do you just think this is a friend of a friend, or like Ethan or somebody? Like, who do you think this is exactly?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
Well, the roommate, and again, this isn't because she's sussy. I'm just saying that, like, the whole thing just
Exactly.
seems kind
Yeah.
of crazy. The roommate, who was frozen in shock and fear, obviously, seemingly went on autopilot and locked herself in her room for the rest of the night. And I think looking back, we could judge this and say what's going on. But at the same time, like, I have been so frozen in fear before by
Yeah.
myself, especially as a woman. I remember maybe I told this story once, and I don't know if I told it on Martinis and Murder, but we were. In LA for Watch What Happens Live. This was years ago when I lived in New York. So I was visiting, obviously, with everyone. We were doing Watch What Happens Live in LA and we were staying at
Oh, I
a
remember the story.
hotel and it was late at night. People were out, but I went home. This was probably at like 2 or 3 a.m. at this point by myself in my room. I'm sleeping, but light sleeping. And I hear knocks on my door and no one says anything. I don't hear someone be like,
Hell
hey,
no.
it's John,
Yeah.
like I just had a drink, come out, like
Yeah.
like one of my drunken coworkers or something from a
Right.
night of celebrating might have done that. Just a few knocks, then a few knocks again, and I remember being so frozen in fear. I was like, do I go up and look through the people? Like, should I get up and like my door is locked, right? I'm in a hotel. But then
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to see what's in that people because
No.
it could be just one of my friends or it could be a stranger. And in which case, if it's a stranger, I will be
Yeah. Of
terrified. And
course, of
like,
course.
so
By
the
the way,
roommate going into autopilot, I relate to that. And that her
for
situation must have
sure.
been hella scarier than mine.
Well, two things. First of all, terrifying. But by the way, anyone knocking on my door, no matter if I'm expecting them or
At
not,
3
kind of freaks me
a.m.
out. Yeah, and especially at
Right.
3 a.m., but any kind of knock on the door just kind of freaks me
And
out.
I remember not even really like partying that night. It wasn't like
Yeah.
I went home at 1 and my friends
Right.
came back at 3. It was like I was in my room since 8 or 9. Like it wouldn't have made any sense. And it was like
Yeah.
not a hard knock. It was like bang, bang, bang. It was
Yeah.
like
Oh,
that. It
that's
was just
creepy.
very creepy. I'll never forget it. I'll
And
never forget it.
the other thing I want to say too is like back to this case is that one thing I think we should mention at this point is like all this stuff seems to be happening, but there's not like crazy chaos happening, right? Like
Right.
if you're trying to like really shut everybody up in the house, wouldn't you be like if you're the killer like screaming like shut up or I'll kill you or I'm coming for you next. Like it seems like weirdly calm and like he's just going from room to room and
Right.
walking down the
There's no
hallway.
major
Like
noise. There's no
there's
major
not, it's
screams.
just like someone made
Dogs
their way in.
barking,
Yeah, the
but
dog's barking outside, but all good here. Like everything is weirdly calm to me at this point.
well, okay. So she's frozen in fear, something I can
Right.
relate to in her room the rest of the night. Now, she had seen a mysterious intruder wandering through her home in the middle of the night, and now none of her housemates would wake up when she called out to them.
Oh, that's terrifying.
It wasn't until the following day that she gathered up the courage to call for help.
Yeah.
And listen, I think we can judge that too, but at the same time, I just want people to remember, like, you call the cops and all of a sudden everything becomes real and you don't know what's
Yeah.
happening and the cops are there and maybe this was nothing. And there's just a lot of things that can go through your mind when you're in fight or flight. And I just think that's important to keep in mind. I don't necessarily think that's nefarious or purposeful. I think it's just truly a state of shock.
Yeah, I have something to say about that, but I want you to go through a couple more
Okay.
details here first. Yeah.
So she first called her friends who came over and realized that the situation was even more dire than her initial phone call made it seem. The roommate had not physically checked on her friends, believing, possibly hoping, that they had simply had a wild night out and needed to sleep it off. Here's I think in the morning, like when you don't hear anything and your door is locked, especially in the light of day, I'm kind of surprised that you wouldn't have at least checked in the room to make sure that they were
Yeah.
sleeping, seeing that they were sleeping, and then, okay, go, I don't know, leaving. But
Yeah.
eventually, the group of frightened college students phoned the police just before noon.
Yeah.
Now, when the police arrived, they began searching the house and very quickly determined that something much more sinister had happened during the night. Inside Kaylee's bedroom on the third floor, police found Kaylee and Maddie's bodies covered in blood and stab wounds. Neither girl had been restrained. And, two college girls, it's probably not that hard to, you could be one guy and probably do it. Not that it wouldn't be difficult, but depending on how big you are, depending how
Yeah,
muscly you
exactly.
are, I
Yeah.
mean, you could. Neither girl had been restrained, and it appeared as though Madison had been killed first while she slept, followed by Kaylee, who had been awake enough to fight back against her attacker. Sure, they
Wow.
could see this through defensive wounds. Now, police found something else too. Twisted in the blankets of Kaylee's bed was the sheath to a large K-bar style knife used by members of the US Marines during hand-to-hand combat. Pretty specific
Yeah.
knife, not a knife that I would grab for self-defense. It's not a kitchen
Right.
knife or something like that. So,
Exactly.
it's a very specific knife, which also will play into this a little bit.
Yeah, and what I wanted to say is that the timing around the phone call to the police was one of the bigger kind of
I mean, waiting till
mis
noon the next day, it's
Yeah,
not
the
like
one
you
of the
wait till 9 a.m. Like, I mean, noon is.
Yeah, and you can actually, I think just recently these 911 calls were released. So you can go on YouTube and like hear these phone calls. One of the people surviving members of this house call 911 and they're trying to say like that the people that have been murdered look like they're passed out. They keep saying the words passed out over and over again.
Right. And if
And
you have multiple stab wounds, I'm
that's
not.
the thing. That's what I was just going to say. To me, it's very weird to be like, I don't know. I think they're passed out. But the reports are that these people were covered in blood and stabbed
Right.
to
It was
death.
almost like a
So,
massacre and
right.
to
So,
make no sound. That's what I also don't understand.
yeah,
Like,
that's also extremely
especially because
odd.
Kaylee defending herself must have made a sound. Like, she must have been
Yeah.
screaming for her life, fighting. I get sort of if you're killing, Maddie while she's sleeping, depending on where you're stabbing her, she probably wouldn't be able to
Right.
make a lot of sound, or you're covering her mouth and
Yeah. Whatever,
not to
yeah.
be, not to be, but like, that's weird.
But, in that 911 call, the 911 dispatcher who thinks that they've just have a bunch of passed out college kids asks her to go check to see if she's actually passed out. And the surviving person that's calling is like, I don't know. We have to go back in. No, we have to go back in. So like, I don't know. You'll have to listen to it. Go listen to it on YouTube or whatever. But
It
it's
has a
just,
strangeness, though.
there's a strangeness to me because I'm like, how could anyone possibly think that people who are murdered and stabbed like that are passed out simply?
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know exactly every single detail yet. So we'll see how this plays out in court, of course. But back to this part of the case here. Though there was no knife recovered at the scene, and still to this day, a murder weapon has not been found or recovered. I think they eventually tore the house down, which I think we'll talk about soon, but so it's probably lost forever, no matter what. Investigators were later able to secure some touch DNA from the snap front closure of the leather sheath. Now, on the second floor, detectives found two more bodies. Xana had been stabbed to death in her bedroom, while Ethan had died from a gunshot wound.
Which is so different, and why switch up?
And did anybody hear that? Like, what's going
Right.
on?
I mean, you could
The
have had a silencer on the gun, but like,
Yeah. I
what an
mean, this is a
interesting
lot
switch up
of
considering they're sleeping together. So it's like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, the rooms where the murders took place were, of course, completely drenched in blood. And looked as if bitter struggles, unfortunately, had taken place inside. Now, these deaths shocked not only the University of Idaho community, but the nation at large. I mean, as we've talked about, we've heard about it. Now, class was canceled, of course, and vigils were held in memory of those lost lives. Police Chief James Fry said, quote, "We cannot say that there is no threat to the community when this
Because they
happened.
don't know.
They don't know. This could be the first of many or a single situation." The fathers of Gonzalez and Chapin criticized the limited flow of information from the police and university to the families and the of the victims. Autopsies on the four victims were performed in Spokane, Washington. Spokane, excuse me. The Lata County coroner stated the victims all appeared to have been stabbed multiple times with fatal wounds in the chest and upper body with a large knife, if not the same knife, very similar ones. Now, the surviving roommate who reportedly saw the suspect described him as a male stranger around 5'10 and, quote, not very muscular, but athletically built with bushy eyebrows, end quote.
Key about those bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, there's something really about that. Now, obviously, we live in a world of TikTok now. So, this obviously news made its way to TikTok. So, TikTokers and self-proclaimed psychics and social media users began to speculate and spread rumors and misinformation about the case on social media, tragically, which became a part of the investigation because the Moscow police captain, Roger Lanier, said, quote, tracking down rumors and quelling rumors about specific information and specific events that may not have happened is a huge distraction. We are not releasing specific details as we do not want to compromise the investigation. So on one hand, you understand why the family would be upset that they're not getting the answers quick enough. They're also going through trauma. But this is how a lot of these investigations go. You can't give too much out so that the public can then, the killer specifically can then move on that information. The investigation was held close to the police chest and eventually led to the police to one prime suspect who we've talked about a couple times.
Mentioned it up top just because I feel like the name is kind of everyone kind of knows it now, especially associated with this case. But Brian Koberger was born on November 21st, 1994, in Albrightsville, Pennsylvania. He attended Monroe Career and Technical Institute in Bartonsville, but dropped out a year later. Later attending Northampton Community College's campus in Tannersville, where he earned a degree in psychology. Now, after graduating in 2018, I don't know why, but like all the killers we talk about, I feel like are always like in their, 20s, but they're older now and this and that. Like this guy's younger than us. It just feels weird that
Yeah, that is weird.
I don't know why. It's just very odd. But he graduated after graduating in 2018, he worked as a security guard for the Pleasant Valley School District, the same school district where his father was previously employed as a maintenance worker for many years, and where his mother was a substitute teacher. So going into the family biz, kind of, if you will.
Yeah, in a
He received
sense.
a Bachelor of Arts in 2020 and a Master's of Arts in 2022 in criminal justice from DeSale University. And in the summer of 2022, Koberger moved to Washington State to pursue a PhD at Washington State University. And its campus is less than 8 miles west of the University of Idaho. So two different states, but close campuses in
But
there,
very
right on the
close, yeah.
border. And at the time of the killings, he was a doctoral student in criminology and had completed his first semester there 9 days before his arrest. So odd time to just decide to like be a criminal considering you're trying to pursue your fucking like
Yeah,
doctorate, but okay.
this was a pretty big part of this drama over the last couple of years and rumors. It was like, was he getting ideas? Was he learning how
Right. Was he learning
to,
something? But that's a
yeah.
stretch because
It is, yeah.
yes, but like the internet also exists.
Yeah,
So I don't know why
exactly.
I don't think he would need to pay $200,000 to learn these things, but like, okay.
Right.
Less than 2 weeks before the murders, faculty members met with him to discuss growing concerns about his odd behavior.
That's interesting.
Brian was ultimately terminated from his teaching assistant role on December 19th, with the decision being based on, quote, his unsatisfactory performance as a teaching assistant, including his failure to meet the norms of professional behavior in his interactions with the faculty, and sexism and being rude to women, including students, end quote.
Wow, that's fascinating.
I mean, not a murderer necessarily, but certainly a fucking asshole who needs to grow up,
Yeah, and
right?
also I'll say this, like getting fired from a teaching assistant role is kind of a big deal when you're trying to finish your schooling. I mean, you don't want a big blemish on your record that you were fired from this teaching assistant role because you just simply can't be a normal professional human being.
Well, in conjunction with that, though, John, he was also expelled from the university for failing
Exactly.
grades. So something's happening in his
So let's talk
mind.
about this too. I mean, again, this guy has not been charged. He has not, or he has been charged, but he has not been convicted. And we're now seeing a profile of somebody who was probably really pissed off. Let's just put it this way, like has some sort of maybe cognitive issue going on here. I mean, he's clearly smart enough to get into these programs and graduate previously, but
I kind of think of
something's
Luigi
going on.
Mangione here with
Yeah,
this one a little
there
bit,
is a
like
bit like that. Yeah.
a triggering of something. You know, they said maybe his back pain or something, but something maybe just like triggered him. And obviously, all these things were kind of happening around him, but
Right.
the poor behavior leading up to this, the bushy
Right.
eyebrows, all
Right. Didn't think of
seem
that.
very sus.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, just days after the murders, Brian's dad had driven across the country from Pennsylvania to help his son move back home. And when the tip about Brian was brought into the police, his profile matched the killer of the four Idaho students, and he drove the same make and model of white vehicle that was seen outside the King Road house on the night of the murders. A lot of guys have bushy eyebrows. A lot. It wasn't like a specific, like there's flames and shit on the car, like a
Yeah.
common car. Obviously, enough to look into that. That is pretty interesting.
For
And late on
sure.
the night of December 30th, 2022, police raided the Koberger family home. And during the raid, Brian was arrested on four counts of first degree murder and one felony count of burglary. Brian was appointed a public defender and was detained without bond at the Monroe County Correctional Facility in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. And on his return to the country county courthouse on January 3rd, 2023, he agreed to extradition.
And I think at this point, I mean, we're gonna have to. I wish there was more like reporting about how they sort of zeroed in on him. It sounds like there was a
Yeah.
tip about Brian, but what
I mean, they
really,
raided his home, but like,
yeah, what caused that exactly? I'm
right, because it's
curious.
like he lives in a different state. You
Yeah.
know, I don't know what triggered it, and I don't know if,
Yeah.
you
We'll have to
know,
figure
someone knew
that
he was
out.
sent. There's going to be more details about that, especially as the trial comes
I was going to
out.
say, yeah, exactly. Well, on January 4th, he was flown to Pullman, driven to the Lata County Jail in Moscow, and held without bail. Brian made his first appearance at the Lata, I hope I'm saying that right, Lata County Courthouse on January 5th and was charged with four counts of first degree murder and one count of burglary for breaking into a home with the intent to commit a felony. 1 week later, on January 12th, he made his second appearance for a status conference in the same room at the courthouse. On May 17th, 2023, he was indicted by a grand jury on five charges, four counts of first degree murder and one count of felony burglary. A preliminary probable cause hearing scheduled for June 26 was canceled after the indictment. In May of 2023, later that month, Koberger refused to enter a plea during his arraignment. His attorney said that Koberger was, quote, standing silent on the charges. The judge entered a not guilty plea for him. I guess you're innocent until you're proven guilty there.
Sure.
Later on June 26th, at the Lata County Prosecutor's Office announced they were seeking the death penalty given the alleged aggravating circumstances of the first degree murder charges. And as a result, Brian was denied bond. Well, not necessarily as a result, but Brian was denied bond.
Yeah,
This
and
was
let me
2 years
just say,
ago.
like if you are innocent, if he is innocent, and right now he is presumed innocent, as we should, if he remains innocent, horrible press for you.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
let's just talk about it. Like,
Your
we're
life
ruining
could
this
be in
guy's life,
shambles. Yeah.
you know, if he is, if
Not
he's, if he's
convicted.
right, if
Yeah.
he's not convicted. Well, in January of 2024, about a year and a half ago, the judge granted the defense access under seal, to access under seal the results of the investigative genetic genealogy testing, which used a touch sample from the knife sheath, as John mentioned before, left behind at the crime scene, which first led to the investigation of
Okay,
Koberger.
so they did test that the sheath then.
And on September 9th, 2024, the judge granted the defense's motion for a change of venue. The trial is scheduled to take place in Boise, Idaho, with Judge Stephen Hipler presiding over the case. I wonder why they wanted to change it, I guess to make it more
I had looked into this too because I was like, why
similar.
do that? But I think it was because it's a smaller town that was so impacted by the
Right.
severity of the murders that they just wanted to move it away from, I'm sure because of the
Keep
jury
it a less.
pool and keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, on October 9th, 2024, Judge Hipler set the start date for jury selection as July 30th, 2025. So, a couple months from now,
Yeah,
about
coming
three and a
right up.
half, a little over 3 months, with the jury trial beginning on August 11th, 2025. This case is ongoing and picking up speed in the lead up to the start date. Brian is still the state's only suspect, as far as the public is aware. However, though the trial is approaching, the state seems to have very little evidence against Brian. Though there has been some touch DNA located on the knife sheath, the knife itself has not been located. So, and obviously the knife sheath didn't kill the people just because it's on there. I have a thought about this, but let me kind of finish this. There's also no apparent evidence that Brian ever knew any of the University of Idaho students, nor did he seem to have any motive to want them dead. That said, it is possible that the state appears to have so little evidence against Brian because almost all the parties involved have been bound by a court-issued gag order, preventing nearly everyone involved with the case to speak with the media, which I sort of understand that as well. Like, you want to keep these things very close. It seems odd with the popularity of this case, I'll say, that the state would bring something against them with little to no evidence. That seems so stupid. But okay, the story is a true mystery as of right now, at least for what we know, and that we're kind of obsessed with. We will continue following the story and updating with coverage as we move closer to trial.
Yeah, we will.
I'm curious if the dad is going to be questioned and be like a huge part of this, only because he drove up to
Oh,
help his
his dad? That's
son,
interesting.
Brian's dad. You know, again, I thought there was something about Koberger being like obsessed with these girls on social media, but clearly there is no evidence for that.
I had
But
read,
don't you remember that?
I do, and I had just recently read as I was preparing for the show that he had, this is a, I have no idea. I'm just telling you, I saw this on the internet. Take it or leave it. Go look it up and see if it's real or not. That he had followed two of the girls on social media prior, which could lead to him being connected to them. But I don't know how credible that is. I'm just something I read from what I thought was a credible source. I usually try to retain those types of thoughts from credible sources. I just can't remember exactly where I
And
read
that
it
could
right
have
now.
also been sensationalized, you know, like,
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
they came across each other on a TikTok, but
Well,
like,
listen.
you know, who knows?
Sorry to interrupt you there. The other thing is, working in social media, do you even know if that's truly his account? Could they, people make copycat counts for killers all the time, and you can go follow somebody. You can pay for a verified badge now across all social media.
I'd like to think that the state has more for anyone to convict somebody of such a heinous crime, put his face out there and all that stuff and kind of ruin his life than just maybe possible touch DNA on a knife sheath and the fact that the surviving roommates all think that Brian Koberger fits that profile. Because yes, Brian Koberger does fit that profile, but so do how many
Plenty
other
of other
men?
men. Yeah, especially in
How
that
many other
region of the
men?
country, right? I will say, I mean, if there is DNA that matches him on that sheath, it's hard to really
Then he
look the other
certainly
way.
should be a suspect, but
We
it
should
has to be
see.
more than just like maybe possible touch DNA.
Yeah, I
Like, there needs to
agree.
be like
A
100%
perfect
match.
match.
He fucking touched it. But to have no other DNA,
Well, and also, what about his digital footprint? I mean, do we, where what's are do we
did he have
can
a
we see
cell
his
phone
phone
on him?
records? Yeah, like we should look
But
at all that.
I do think it's interesting. If there's no other DNA on the crime scene except the victims, but, and I don't know if this is true, but they can't find his DNA. Is it possible that he wore gloves? You know, we obviously had the ski mask on to prevent any sort of maybe his DNA getting in there. But if she fought back, you'd think there'd be some sort of defensive wound on him.
That's a good point too.
But did he make the mistake? Is it possible that he made the mistake that when he was quote unquote maybe prepping for this, let's say, or whomever was prepping for it, they made the mistake to use their bare hand on their knife sheath and then use gloves for everything else? And that's their fatal flaw is that was the mistake.
Yeah, or even if they handled it before the day of the murder, like you're gonna have DNA still on there from days prior. Yeah.
Just interesting. But
We'll have to see how this plays out. Yeah, it's an
in the
interesting
coming
one.
months, we're going to let you know. Obviously, you guys are going to probably be on top of it, but let us know what you think at J Thrasher, at Corporate Darren, at Snoop with a Boop. We want to hear from all of you. And John, let's get to some listener shout outs.
Yes, our dear friend Mitts on Patreon, we
Mitts.
love Mitts, wrote, quote, "In all honesty, I do miss the days you guys would get a little tipsy on the show. Maybe you guys could do a show once a month where you guys have a drink." Listen, Mitts, you don't have to ask us twice. Darren, next week's
Wouldn't it be
episode,
fun to like, okay, this might be a little crazy, but
tell
once a
us.
month, or like maybe just for Patreon, we do a show where we have to take like three shots in a row
Oh
at the
my God, are
start
you
of the
kidding?
show and then read the script.
Listen, some days I'm doing the show after work. Some days work is enough to get me drunk and
Well,
not be
I'm just
able to
saying it
read.
could be fun.
I kind of like that though. We should think about that. Yeah, or maybe just do another live stream like we used to with our Patreon members. We've
But like, you
been
got to
wanting
get
to do
drunk right
those.
up top and just see what
Oh my
happens.
God. All right, maybe. Let's see
Grow
what
up,
happens.
John. Well, our
But
lovely
thank you,
friend,
Mitz. I love that idea, by the
love
way.
you, Mitz. Our lovely friend Susan also wrote, "Hey, Darren and John, thank you for the for offering the yearly membership. I just subscribed to the yearly membership to save money. Happy spring."
Yes.
Thanks,
Let's
Susan.
go, Susan, you guys. Well, you guys should be like Susan and save on your yearly membership on Patreon. It's $5 a month, as little as $5 a month, or even cheaper if you sign up annually the way Susan just did.
Yes.
Susan's being thrifty. She knows how to save a buck.
And you get your
Yeah.
name on the Sussie Radish
That's
board for everyone
right.
at home to see every single week here on the show. So,
Darren,
no, John, no,
you take
John,
the
in
what?
more, in, baby.
Oh, in?
Closer to
Oh,
you.
I'm
There we go.
trying.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the left one and you
Snoop
take the right one.
board. Snoop
S
board. Snoop.
magic board.
Snoop
Magic
board.
board. So thank you, Sophia, Marty, Kimberly, Sandy,
Yes.
Tara, Sam, Heather, Stephanie, Susan, of course, Mitz, you guys are the best.
Paula, Molly, Ruth,
Ruth.
Morgan. I can't read it.
Ariana, Roxy,
Ariane, Roxy,
Denise,
Denise,
Jane.
Jane, and of course,
Of
Krista.
course,
Okay,
Krista, who's
mine
been
is
here forever.
backwards on it, so I was reading yours, and then the
Oh,
mic is close,
sorry.
so I couldn't. So I was
Okay, we got it. We figured it out. Guys, this
I
is what
can
you pay
read.
for.
Yeah, this is what you pay
You're like,
for.
just in case you didn't know.
Yeah, I can read.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
Well,
guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. And yes, we want to hear your thoughts on this case. Very important.
yeah, please hit us up at J Thrasher Cover Darren and all the other places that you find us. Okay,
Snoop
we
in a boop.
love you. Goodbye.
John,
Oh.
sign off.
Oh my God, what am I doing? Take care and let the California breeze blow through your hair on an e-bike. Okay. All right.
Okay.
If you follow us on Patreon, you'll know what I'm talking about. How about that?
If you're gonna take a loop around the block,
Oh no, I'm kind of
make sure
stopping.
you're taking a Snoop
Okay.
with you on your loop. Okay, guys, please be neat. Wipe the
Okay,
seat. Let's see you next week. Okay.
we're not poets, we're just podcasters. We love you guys.
That's
See you
right.
next time. Bye
Bye.
bye.
Hi there. My name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.